Our gracious and eternal Father, how we pray that we might truly be stayed upon Jehovah and hearts fully blessed. And our Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we contemplate thy word today, may thy Spirit speak to our hearts, and may the name of Christ be magnified, and may our families be blessed. And so, dear Lord and God, be merciful to us, we pray, this day help preacher and hearers alike, and get to thyself glory through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I thought because the world is thinking of mothers, particularly today, that I perhaps had better think of a theme like this, because I think it was Spurgeon that said that if people are thinking about something, help them to think correctly, even if it happens to be a pagan feast day like some of the pseudo-ecclesiastical calendar days and that we have. But I think it's a wonderful thing for us to be able to come and contemplate the family. And I thought that today we would look at two faithful mothers in the Scriptures because they really stand out here in 2 Timothy. These two women that were mentioned in our reading where it speaks of Lois and Eunice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. And so I thought that we'd focus in on these two and the family circumstances which produced young Timothy. Because sometimes we have idealistic views of family and family life and so on. But those of us that have been in families and are in families, we know that that is so often just Hollywood decoration. It's not actually the reality of it. That certainly it is not easy. And so therefore I think it's an encouragement when we have a look at biblical examples to see, well, it was difficult. It must have been difficult for them. And yet God did bless them. And so it is so important, I think. I mean, I remember when debating years in high school, one of the favourite topics for debate was the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, you see. And so even back then in our fresh-faced adolescent days, we were trying to grapple with that particular situation. And we look in the Scriptures, of course, there are so many wonderful examples of good women in the Scriptures. Think of Jochebed and Hannah, and we think of Elizabeth and Monica, and we think, of course, of Mary as well. And truly, God has blessed women and mothers in the Scriptures very clearly in their crucial roles that they seek to serve him. So let's have a look then at Lois and Eunice, shall we? We're just going to look at them under three headings. Firstly, the family circumstances, and see what we can learn from those. And then we will see examples of their faithful care with young Timothy. And then finally, or thirdly, we'll see the final compensation for them. And so it can be really encouragement. So when we come first to think of the family circumstances, well, the very names Lois and Eunice, there are many Greek and Latin names were used by the Jews at the time. And Eunice is an unusual name. It, actually, the equivalent is Victoria, which is quite interesting. Some have suggested one of the church fathers, Origen, who was a real heretic, but he suggested that they actually could have been relatives of Paul. But that's probably in his imagination. There is no manuscript evidence for that. But there was obviously a very loving connection between them and the apostle. And they came, of course, from Lystra. Now, in their family circumstance, you say, well, where do they live? Well, they lived at Lystra. And we meet that in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. And it was a really pagan city. Idols everywhere. There was no synagogue there at Lystra. And so it was not a particularly God-influenced city in the right sense of the word. And so, firstly, where they lived in their family circumstances was not actually conducive to a common family set of godly circumstances. And furthermore, when you look at the marriage, and you look at it from Acts 16 particularly, it was a mixed marriage. And of course, Timothy's father was a Greek. And we see that there, and, well, was he an unbeliever? We don't really know, but Timothy, of course, was not circumcised. You see that from Acts 16, verse 3, where Paul had Timothy circumcised. Now, of course, some people that have criticized Paul for doing that, because, you know, Paul said in one of his letters, if you're circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. But you've got to take the context. Timothy was going to go with Paul into the temple and other places and so on. And so in order to avoid offence, that had to be carried out. And yet while young Timothy was growing up, it would have been a constant reminder, even as his mother bathed him, that he was not a covenant child in the Hebrew sense of the word at that time. That could have been a great sadness to her because of her husband. And yet it seems as though it doubled her diligence. Instead of being a discouragement to her, the very fact that Timothy was such still doubled her diligence for this young baby of hers. And then actually others too speculate that maybe ultimately too, as he grew up and that they became widows, both Lois and Eunice. And that, of course, brings its problems. We have the issues today with working people or single parents and so on. And the family is really in a difficult way today with the pressures that there are in life. But we'll concentrate on this today. I won't give a lecture about that. But it would not. The thing that is encouraging to us is if you got problems, they had problems. They had difficulties which they constantly had to face. If they were widows, well, they certainly didn't have anything from Centrelink or anywhere. There was no widow's support in that sense. Sometimes, of course, the church, as we see in Acts 6 with the creation of the diaconate, that the diaconate was created to help widows and so on. But it would have been probably quite a difficult time for them. But the main thing we see with the family circumstances, yes, it's difficult where they lived, their own personal natural circumstances could have been quite inimical against their situation and making life very hard. But the wonderful thing about them was that they were godly, that they truly were godly, and that is the best start for a family. And that is why, of course, it is so important when young people come to marry and to pray about a life's partner. Number one on the list is, if they are believers, then they better be marrying a believer. There's no question, no alternative to that. Yes, we know, I've heard the excuses, I've been in the ministry a long time, and I've heard the excuse, oh, but, you know, we'll pray for them and we'll do this and God can change their hearts and so on. Well, the Bible is pretty clear about that. We should be looking for a godly partner. And so we can see here that they were both godly. Calvin has a lovely little comment here. He says, women are, as it were, canonized here. God puts them in his register and sets them in an honorable degree. I thought that's lovely and quaint the way Calvin put that there. And that this is the most wonderful part of their family circumstances. Not the house in which they lived, not all the circumstances physical that surrounded them and so on, no. But they were sought to live godly for the Lord. And this is, of course, why then, when Paul came to Lystra there where they had such a reputation and such a, they gravitated towards the Apostle Paul. And so therefore their family circumstances on the one hand were not particularly ideal, except in this one situation where they were both God-fearers. And so therefore we can see as we go through the passage, we can see sort of elements in the way that they faithfully cared for young Timothy. And as one commentator said, that their piety, were the piety that went into young Timothy with his mother's milk, and that piety passes into the blood, which I thought is quite a quaint phrase when you think of it. But whatever it was, they started early, and I'll tell you why. We know that from the scriptures. In we had read chapter 3 and verse 15. Pardon me, it says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And that word, that child there, is a brephos, which is almost like a newborn, a fetus. It's a very, very young, there are several Greek words for child, and that's one of the youngest ones. And so from a child, from an infant out of the womb, you have known the Holy Scriptures. And so it is so wonderful, isn't it, when we think of this. And this has happened sometimes with people. Now, sometimes even people, we may have a couple of theological queries with some people and so on, but I always remember I heard Corrie ten Boom speak when I was at Sydney University. That's a long time ago. But Corrie ten Boom, and I quoted this from her book, she said, "The Lord Jesus was a living reality to me. When I was very young, my mother told me how dearly he loved children and that he wanted to live in their hearts. And I must have asked him to come in, though I don't know how or when." She could never remember a time when she did not love the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to him. Now, I know that sometimes we have theological questions about asking Jesus into your heart, but that's what she said. And the Bible does say, "My son, give me thine heart." So, therefore, it can start early. And sometimes with people, as they grow up, as they've sought to love Christ and follow him, and then they get worried that they didn't have a day of dramatic conversion. I did, but my first wife didn't. And sometimes it troubled her. And of course, that was early in the piece. But of course, it was just a situation where I was able to say, "Well, are you a Christian?" And of course she was. And she's with the Lord now. Praise God for that for her. Though we have situations where we miss our loved ones. But the situation is that when God truly does that work as a child, it is such a wonderful thing to see that. So don't worry if you're one of those that can't remember an exact date and so on. The main thing is, are you in Christ now? Is he your Lord and Saviour now? Do you seek to live for him right now? That you know that truly if he comes again, that you will see him and that you will love him and welcome him. And so, therefore, that's the important test. But with Timothy, it was a biblical faith right from the beginning. Thou hast known from a child the Holy Scriptures. And that's what we teach our children, the Scriptures. That's what we do. And my children, when they were growing up, I had a Bible ABC book, which went through ABC, through Bible texts with little commentaries. And every night we'd read one together and we'd sit on the bed and read one and so on. So get into their minds the Scriptures. And that's just such a blessing when you see that. And of course now a couple of my kids are grandparents themselves now. And so it is so important for us to see that a biblical faith is implanted. But not only that, because it is also what's called an exemplary faith. It's a faith which is lived out by example. That yes, that as far as parents are concerned, it's essential to teach, but they've got to see it in us too. They've got to see it in our daily action and the way we conduct our lives. And that, of course, with Lois and Eunice was so true. They had such a reputation, and Paul knew about them. And he really, who was somebody, one of the commentators suggested they were those that washed Paul's wounds from being stoned. It could have been their home that took him in. And so they, Lois and Eunice, would have been wonderful examples. And also the faith too. There's something else that we notice about it too. I think it's in verse 5, if I'll just check it here. Yes, in verse 5 in chapter 1, when it says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned, it says here in the AV, that is in thee, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, and that's Timothy, that was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And that word there, unfeigned, I'll give you the Greek word. Not to show, I've forgotten all my Greek, but you know I write it down, so I try and remember it that way. But you'll hear it. It's anhypokrites, and of course we all know what the word hypocrite is, don't we? So anhypokrites is without hypocrisy, and that's why it's called unfeigned here in the AV. I can't remember whether the New King James says something different or whatever, but it was absolutely genuine. And isn't it wonderful to have it genuine? If you visit, you know, Singapore and you walk down, go to Tanglin or walk down Orchard Road or somewhere, and they come up to you and you say, do you want to buy a fake watch? You know, a Rolex or something or other of this kind. A lot of people deal in fakes all the time. I'm afraid in the ecclesiastical circles in our world that a lot of fake clergy around. This is so sad. They're fakes. They might dress up like grandma with nowhere to go, but they have not a knowledge of Christ, and that they've got the system going and they can read their liturgies and so on, and or even preach in pseudo-evangelical pulpits and charismatic circumstances and so on, but they're fakes. And that is so sad indeed. And that is why this circumstance with their faith is so wonderful to see, that Paul could say, look, you're genuine. You were absolutely genuine, not a fake. And how that must have truly then rubbed off on Timothy, because then it says, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, and which was with Lois and Eunice. And also another example of their faithful care was, it was not a flash in the pan. It was not put on one time and then put off another. It was a persevering faith. It must have been over many years, young Timothy, from birth up to manhood and so on. And they persevered. And see, when this is one of the things that you try when people come to you for marriage and so on. You talk to them in the counseling periods and so on. But one thing you try and stress with them, you're in it for the long haul. You know, yes, you feel, I mean, there's going to be a royal wedding in a few days, it's all over the TV and so on and so on, and I pass no comment on that. I just pray that they be converted and that they might live a godly life and bring up godly children. And so I would pray for them likewise. But it's the long haul that counts truly with us and with us all. And so we're living in an impatient day. An impatient age where people are not in, they change jobs regularly. And I mean, it's all bolstered too by technology, and where you click on one thing, then you click on another and so on. Everything is instant and changing, and it's written into us almost. And so therefore it's infected the concept of marriage and family life and godly family life. We're in it for the long haul, thick and thin, highs and lows, ups and downs, and so on. And that's so true. My wife and I, we had our 30th wedding anniversary last Monday. And it was wonderful to reflect over the ups and the downs and so on that you have all through married life. And before that, my first wife, we were married for 27 years. And so the Lord has been good in so many wonderful ways. But it is not easy. It is not easy. And we must be in it for the long haul. And then, of course, too, as we look at family circumstances and their faithful care of Timothy, they shared their faith. They didn't keep it to themselves. They shared it. They obviously shared it with Timothy, and that is why you've got that line, that descent, as it were, there, and that is just so wonderful. And there are many, many godly families that you can see where lines of godly believers. It's not always like that. And so on, and sometimes we can be discouraged if some of our children don't appear to be. I mean, with my first wife, praise God, the three of them are Christians and married to Christians, which is a blessing, but it is so difficult in this day and age. So don't despair if difficulties occur. You persevere with them, regardless of what path they may have taken right now. Because you never know what God will do. I do remember as a child, you know, I was in a two-teacher school. I was in fourth class. And I remember looking across at the blackboard for the work that the teacher had put up for the sixth class kids. And I looked and thought, oh, I'll never be able to do that. You know, and it was so, you know, I could just see strange the things that you, scraps of memory that you have from the past. And I just remember looking and thinking, oh, will I ever be able to do that? Well, I was in fourth class. Just do fourth class work and don't worry about the rest. And so it is with with ourselves, that don't worry about the future in that respect. Share your faith today. Do what you can today. And their faith too, not only was a shared faith, it was a directed faith. Because Timothy was a young man. He had his weaknesses and so on. And Paul had to encourage him and say, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. Because he was worried. He was a young man and so on. I mean, today we sometimes look at the young, and somebody has once said, you know, just employ an adolescence while they know everything. And that's what you need if you want somebody to know anything. And as one old wit said, that look, I'm too old to know everything. I really am. And so therefore we can be a little bit cynical about it. But the plain fact of the matter is, it is an age where children can be taught and directed and moulded and taught. And so therefore it is so important for us to inculcate scripture and sound biblical teaching and warning them of evils and so on over against, you know, the current educational philosophy, which is such rubbish. Please, it is such rubbish. Don't get me started about Gonski and that rubbish. But it's such rubbish where they imagine that the children and the adolescents all come to it, and it's already there, and we've just got to bring it out. No, the only thing that's already there is sin. The only thing is darkness. And we need to direct, we need to teach, we need to inform. We need to help them so that, yes, in the sphere of ordinary education, they have reasonable academic attainments and so on. But morally and spiritually, they have direction. And they know what is right. And they know what is wrong. And that was one thing that Lois and Eunice, as far as young Timothy were concerned, they were very particular about that. But it was not a cold, hard thing. I think sometimes I've come across parents in pastoral ministry, which, oh, they're very strict and they've got, you know, they dot every I and cross every T, and the kids sit there and they're, you know, tremble, tremble, and so on. And sometimes I worry about that too. I worry about that. And that was not the case with young Timothy. It was a loving faith. They loved this young man. How do we know that from the scriptures? Well, in chapter 1 and verse 4, Paul said to Timothy, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Timothy was a tender, loving young man, and he would have got that from his parents. He would have got that from dear Lois and Eunice. And so therefore, always make sure with our children there is that loving faith there, that the gospel and the things of God are not presented as something which is so strict and fearful and so on that you are not afraid, you're afraid to do anything out of line and so on. No, it must be a loving faith. As one writer said, that there are four T's, and there's the T of trust, of touch, and of time, and of trust, and of truth. These four T's should be part of our children. Yes, we should lovingly touch them. And of course, in this day and age, with all sorts of things that have happened, we don't like to talk about that. But little babies do love to be handled. There's no doubt about that. And the power of touch, our Lord Jesus touched the leper, and so on. There's no doubt about that. There should be that loving affection, and don't let the world put you off. But there should be time spent with our children too. Because as far as the world is concerned, it's taking your children's time away from you. They're there with their iPads or their handheld devices. They're taken away with so much that the world is trying to pour into them. We are in a perilous situation in this world with the invasion of technology. And I don't despise technology, I use it. But it must be our servant, not our master. And I'm afraid the world is mastered by our technology. And it's taking away that time from our relationships with our loved ones, our parents and our peers. And then, of course, that trust, that must always be. Your children must be able to completely trust you and you them. I always remember teaching my children, said, "Never be afraid to tell me the truth as to what you've done. You will never get into trouble for telling me the truth, no matter how terrible. But you'll certainly get into trouble if you lie." And that paid off in adolescence with certain situations that happened at school. I had to be able to depend 100% on the truth that my child was saying. And I was able to, and the situation was resolved. But trust is so important. And of course, it's not empty, feely-feely. It's truth that is so vital. And so it's a loving faith that should be passed on, as no doubt Lois and Eunice did to young Timothy. And Timothy's tears showed to Paul how much he'd grown up and cared for the people of God. And so, having seen this then, their family circumstances and their faithful care, what was the final compensation? Because it is so wonderful. Actually, when you think of the examples that we have here, the Christian faith, we see it in the morning of life with Timothy, we see it at noontime with Eunice, and in the evening with the grandmother Lois. And so we see sort of three levels, and we, in our lives, we sort of pass through these levels in our lives. And so in this life, we could see with Timothy, with Lois and Eunice, that they saw young Timothy grow up as a person, and finally becoming a pastor. Saved by grace, quickened by the Spirit. And we can see that with them it was all worth it. There was a final compensation for them in this life, in spite of all the difficulties and so on. But of course, eventually with young Timothy, the parents would die, Paul would, but Timothy and his life lived on because his Bible was treasured in his heart. And even though his friends might be taken away and his parents are taken away, that word that lived in his heart could not be taken away. And so we can see that final compensation, yes, for the parents ultimately in this life, but of course, how wonderful that in eternity they would see the result. Now, they would see the result of their faithfulness as faithful mothers and a faithful family with young Timothy. And so, I don't know your family situation and circumstances. You may be on your own. You might not have any living relatives and so on. And that's a difficulty. And I hope and pray that the church family can be part of your family. But there may be young Timothy's here. Take a note of young Timothy here and the way that he's been blessed. It was not an ideal family circumstance in which he grew up, but God overruled it by his grace and used his parents, no matter what difficulties that there were there, with a mixed marriage and the physical circumstances where they live. Young Timothy, praise God, still came out for Christ, still honoured his mother's God and his grandmother's God. And so young Timothy here, I hope and pray that that'll be you. Young Timothy, or male and female, may it be you. Now mothers, like Eunice, persevere with it. Don't be put off. Yes, there are difficulties in this world. There's no doubt about that. There are difficulties. But be in it for the long haul and get the help of others around you. Maybe family like Eunice, the grandparents. I mean, it's sad today that sometimes grandparents are almost ersatz parents with respect to, you know, the parents are so busy with work and all the rest of it and so on. But the grandparents too, if you're a grandparent, you still can, with your prayers and support and example and your influence, be a blessing to your fellow. I was lovely last night. We had a little family gathering with a daughter of mine at West Pymble, and one of her daughters, a lovely, godly young woman, so sweet. I must not digress, but I think she's so wonderful. But she's a trainee nurse, nearly finished, and we were talking, and it brought such gladness to my heart as a grandfather to see how God had been so good, because the mother had had difficulties, there were all sorts of difficulties and so on. It was not plain sailing, but God was gracious. And so be encouraged, persevere, remember this context here of these two faithful mothers. And may we pray for our families today. May we live for them. May we jealously guard the biblical concept of family life. And may we be an example to others that might be able to say to us, what is it that makes your family different? And you can tell them, Christ makes all the difference for what he has done for me and the way he has blessed our families. And I will help you with that. So may God bless you today and your families. And may we see a change in this godless, wicked generation, that we might see a turning and a reviving and rejecting of the evil and to restoring the biblical concept of the family in our needy generation. It's either that or chaos. May we see revival and blessing. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, how we long to see that blessing in our families today. And we do thank Thee, our Heavenly Father, for the wonderful example of Eunice and Lois and young Timothy. And our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that the Scriptures are given to us for our learning, that with patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. So may we have, against all odds, may we have hope. May we have determination to persevere in Christ with our dear children, perhaps a wayward child, perhaps one that is giving us such heartache and fear. Oh God, our Father, help us to persevere and to lay hold on Thee. And so, dear Father and God, be gracious to each one in this church and to those whom we love. And may truly this be the beginning of another day where we seek to live godly in our families in Christ. So we give Thee thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.